It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we are going to get caught up with the senator who represents the Motherlode region at the state capitol in Sacramento, Marie Alvarado-Gill. She's going to fill us in on the legislation that she introduced this past session and give her take on some high-profile issues. Senator Alvarado-Gill, it's great having you on Motherlode Views.
Hey, BJ, nice to see you again.
So we had you here during the campaign season, but this is your first time on Motherlode Views. So for anybody who's unfamiliar, what is your background?
That's right. Well, I'm much more rested this time coming to visit with you. So it's great to be here again. As you mentioned, this is my first year serving as our state senator for Senate District 4. And we represent 13 counties, including all of the Tuolumne Motherlode region. I live in Jackson, so I'm coming from Amador County, but I have the pleasure of serving the district from Truckee all the way down to Inyo County, Death Valley, and all of Stanislaus County in the Central Valley and east of the 99.
It's good to have you here in Tuolumne County. I imagine it's hard to get to all areas of your county being such a wide region.
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, hard is not the word. It's an adventure, right? We have some of the most beautiful landscape here in California in Senate District 4 is just really the jewel, the Sierra foothills down the Highway 49. We have all sorts of weather, desert, forest, you know, rich valley.
And we're recording this earlier in the week ahead of the weekend airing, and you're in Tuolumne County as well to bring some funding to this region, correct?
That's right. Part of the best part of my job is distributing money from the budget, and I feel very fortunate to be able to bring some funds here to Tuolumne County, specifically around workforce housing, which I know is a big need. And so we're going to be doing that today, and I've been traveling the district, making sure that we are distributing funds into the rural communities of California.
Anything more you can share just about how that funding is going to help Tuolumne County?
I sure can. So we worked very diligently as a team to make sure that we had over $53 million for our in-district funds. Now, this is everything from supporting for grants, helping some of our local districts, you know, special districts, water districts, counties, cities qualify for rural monies. So this money, it's $155,000 specifically for Tuolumne County to acquire land to build workforce housing. Now, this is an initiative that's been championed here by the county supervisors. So for me, it's really just an honor to be able to fulfill that vision and bring forward something for our Tuolumne County residents.
We also cover Calaveras County, and you were in Calaveras County recently delivering money there, too. What can you tell us about that?
I was. I was actually there playing with cats, too. So they just got a lot of kitties. If anyone needs a fur friend, a family member, please go visit the Calaveras Animal Shelter. So this is a great story, too, BJ. So I had met Supervisor Huberty at an event, and he told me about the Calaveras Animal Shelter, and, you know, my district representative, Dana Jorgensen, had visited it before, and knowing that I'm an animal lover and I've got a background in animal science, Supervisor Huberty said, you have to come down and really just see the conditions of this facility. It was built decades ago, and we have such a need for upgraded facilities. And he told me about the volunteers, and I said, absolutely, I will make a time to go to Calaveras. Yeah, so I was there last week, got to meet their amazing volunteers, including the Focus volunteers, and learned that they had just acquired over 80 kitties. And was able to go into the room and socialize with some of them. My husband doesn't know this yet, but I am looking to bring some kitties home probably November, December. So our Christmas tree will have some fun for friends with us. But yeah, I was happy to be able to bring some funding there. We delivered $200,000 for the animal shelter to help to, you know, either rebuild the facility a bit or, you know, basically give the volunteers any resources that they need to take care of the animals in Calaveras County.
You know, getting into some other topics, you had a representative at the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors meeting about a month or so ago when the county was voicing concerns to PG&E about the various power outages that we've had in this community. How is your office getting involved in that issue?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, BJ, PG&E and I are kind of rivals right now. I had this wonderful bill to help level the playing field for some of our smaller public utilities, predominantly in rural communities. And PG&E came out full force to oppose my bill, and it was defeated in the Senate Utilities, Energy and Utilities Committee. So I'm a little sour still from that. But even more so, I think that PG&E has been a big player, a big bully, actually, in the rural communities. And we've seen that here in Tuolumne County with these outages that last for weeks sometimes. I mean, it really does devastate our ability to just provide basic needs for our families. So for me, this is an issue that hits home. So my staff has been very diligent in being present at the meetings, working with our constituents in the community, with our elected officials, and fighting back. Like, this is an issue that we are going to continue to push PG&E on. If they are going to take the monopoly of energy and services here in California, we're going to expect high quality customer service and dependability.
Do you think PG&E will listen to state senator raising these concerns?
I know they will. I know they will. I think that, like I said, we're in a battle right now, but right is right, and we can't continue to disregard the needs of rural communities because we are not the epicenter of the voter pool. We matter. We have a voice, and this is just one of the biggest fights that we're going to continue to battle is PG&E.
You know, looking back at your first legislative session, what were some of the other bills that you championed this session?
Yeah. Well, we were very ambitious. We brought forward 21 pieces of legislation in our first year. And so for our listeners that don't know, we have a two-year cycle. So we just finished our first year. And as senators, we're allowed to bring in a maximum of 40 bills. So we hit about half of that. Well, you know, the majority of my bill package was around public safety, accountability for people who engage in criminal activities, and more protection for victims and small businesses. So we had quite a fight there. I was not able to move any of our public safety bills, being that the Public Safety Committee in both the Senate and the Assembly have built a reputation of blocking any more legislation that adds penalties or consequences for crimes. So I come from the frame of thought that if you make a decision to break the law, that you have to have consequences. Now, I get it that sometimes there's issues with mental health, sometimes there's issues around, you know, family values or whatnot. But for me, it's more about having a system where there's consequences and expectations for behaviors. And more what I see here in the rural communities is that we hold our own. Like, we protect our homes, our property, our families, our community. And so we need our state government to enact legislation, have laws that help to protect our community. So that's what I attempted to do. I'm not done, though. I'm bringing them back in our second year, and I'm hoping that the leadership in both houses will be able to see things from a rural community lens and make sure that we can move bills like fentanyl legislation to protect our kids and ensure that violent crimes are noted as violent crimes. So other bills that I've been working on that I had more success in is around funding for water districts, infrastructure, drought resiliency, and wildfire response. That's another issue that's been very high priority on my team.
Can you elaborate on the wildfire response? That's obviously a big issue for this region.
It is. And, you know, I am perhaps the only legislator that is on the FAIR plan. And I know many of your listeners know what I mean when I talk about the not-so-FAIR plan. But this is a real issue in California, particularly in our rural Sierra Foothills areas where climate change has increased our susceptibility to wildfire and dangerous wildfires. So for me, this has been an issue that from the get-go, I've been working with Commissioner Lara, the insurance commissioner Lara, on to ensure that we have some real solutions. And just recently, the governor worked with the commissioner on enacting urgency legislation to make sure that we have an open market for our insurance providers, but also to bring accessibility and affordability back to California. So my team's monitoring it because, as you know, our district is one of the primary targets of relief if this legislation truly works for us. But we're going to be watching it. We're looking to have more affordable rates. We're looking to ensure that families and individuals that are doing the work for home hardening and building defensible space are getting those credits with their insurance companies. So it's an uphill battle, but we're watching it very closely and hoping that we'll bring some good stories to you soon.
We need to take a break. We're talking with Senator Marie Alvarado-Gill on this weekend's Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherload Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Our second segment will be coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
And we welcome you back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined on the program this weekend by the senator who represents the Motherload region, Marie Alvarado-Gill. Senator Alvarado-Gill, we ended talking about some of the legislation that you introduced during your initial session at the state capitol. Fair funding, is that another bill that you introduced this session?
That is. So for me, I didn't grow up going to the county fairs, but once I had my kids, we visited the fairs every year, and it was a staple of the of my children's childhood memories. So as a state legislature of 13 counties, we made a concerted effort to travel the district and visit the majority of our county fairs, with the Motherload Fair being right here, home to Tualatin County. So I think that was one of the hottest days of fairs this summer.
It was brutal that day.
It was. I remember that. I remember. But, you know, for me, part of the joy is, you know, seeing our community come together, seeing families, multiple generations of families, bringing forward their, you know, their knowledge of ag and just love of the ag community. So the livestock auction is one of the things that's my favorite as well. And I was able to help support some of our first time FFA and 4-H farmers in the livestock auction.
Any other legislation that stands out from this past session?
This past session was really our ability to work on district legislation. So we did some acquisition of roads up in Mono County and Mammoth Lakes area. We also worked very closely with the basin, the Tahoe Basin, on increase in access to funding for infrastructure. And when we talk about water infrastructure, it goes hand in hand with wildfire mitigation. And then also just improving highway transportation. I think we had some really good wins with our budget to put millions of dollars into roads, rural roads here in Senate District 4. In some cases, bringing money to communities that hadn't seen road funding for decades. So some really wins, real wins there.
How would you say you've been embraced at the state capitol? I know you've been a Democrat who sometimes voted against your own party on some issues. So how has that gone?
Yeah. So I by far am the most conservative of the supermajority. I've earned the quiet title of the Western Blue Dog, but, you know, I wear it proudly. You know, for me, it's really about representing the community. And I remember when I was campaigning, I was asked, you know, why am I running and what's my top priority? And for me, it has always been and will continue to be to build those working relationships with our counties, our cities, and our local leaders, and to be that representative, independent voice in Sacramento. So I've continued to do that, which at times it means I vote against the supermajority, or I'm that lone Western blue dog vote that stands out in the legislature. But I'll tell you, you know, I've been monitoring some of the governor's vetoes. And guess what? Bills that he's been vetoing, I was the sole Democrat that voted no. So I must be doing something right, BJ.
You know, what's your opinions on water storage? That's always a debate in California. Do you think the state should look at new reservoirs and water storage?
Absolutely, absolutely. I've also been able to tour some wonderful water projects here in Senate District 4, the last one being in Alder Creek up in El Dorado County. This is just an area of the El Dorado Forest that is prime for above ground water storage. And I'm really happy with the way that local leadership has worked to identify the site. And I look forward to seeing that happen in my lifetime.
You know, the economy of the Motherlode region, where you're from, Amador County, Calaveras, Tuolumne, different than the coastal communities and cities. Are there things that you feel that the state of California could do to help this region when it comes to economic growth?
I do, absolutely. And the first thing is just kind of those low-hanging fruit or the baby steps. And so as a rural representative, I've also, there's certain legislation that I've not really blocked, but helped to mold in the right direction. So, for example, I work with my colleagues on their bills and help them see how is this going to affect us in the rural communities. And sometimes it's just about adding two or three words or a phrase that ensures that there's a carve out for funding for rural communities, or that there's an inclusion into pilot programs, for example, so that our rural communities are not neglected when it comes to some of these, you know, super powerful city and coastal legislations.
In Tuolumne County, a lot of the elected leaders have raised concerns about housing and wanting more housing in this region and the challenges of building housing in the state of California. Do you feel that there's things that the state could do to help local communities like Tuolumne County?
Yeah, I think the first thing the state needs to do is acknowledge and really embrace that one-size-fits-all policies hurts rural communities. This is one of those aspects in California that has really hurt our ability to bring housing that's affordable. I don't even call it affordable housing anymore. It's just housing that's affordable because it's relative, right? It's relative to the community in which we're building. And I see how developers are really struggling to make a profit when it comes to building housing that's affordable and that falls within all the stringent regulations and guidelines of the state. So at this point, we can't be forcing requirements on our rural communities and our small towns to build housing that perhaps would work for coastal communities or for the Los Angeles and San Diegos and Bay Areas. So being mindful that one size does not fit all and really bringing solutions for the rural communities that is not punitive, but builds coalition and partnership.
What's your take on the issue of homelessness? That was a big issue before you stepped into office. It's been growing during the past couple of years as well. What can the state do to address that issue?
Yeah, this is a sour subject for me, BJ, because, you know, homelessness is one of those areas where we've seen a growth over the years, not a decline. And more so after the pandemic, I mean, for me, I'm seeing veterans that are on the street and unable to stay in California. And that really bothers me. It really irks me that we have continued to treat our veterans in a way that is disrespectful. And we need to do more. I think where we're doing a good job is putting forward solutions around mental health and behavioral health to ensure that those who are homeless due to mental health or health issues can get resources at the local level. So, for example, Tuolumne County is doing an amazing pilot project here with the Care Court, and I look forward to seeing that play out and continue to partner. I think the other thing that just bothers me about the homeless issue is just the amount of spending at the state. I learned in my first few months that the state, we spend $20 billion, or that we have spent $20 billion on trying to address homelessness. And I thought my hearing was off. I thought it was $20 million, and I was corrected. No, $20 billion. So we have more people homeless on the street than we do incarcerated in California prisons. So something is off here. Something is wrong when it comes to how we build these social service programs that are supposed to help the most vulnerable.
We're going to take one more break. We're talking with Senator Marie Alvarado Gill on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Our final segment is coming up in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We're talking with Marie Alvarado Gill, the Democratic senator who represents the Motherlode, on this weekend's Motherlode Views, getting into a number of topics, issues at the state capitol in Sacramento. And Senator Alvarado Gill, you know, as you go around the district, you know, we've had a lot of different things with wildfires over the years. Last year, we had a lot of flooding. You know, as we head towards these winter months, what are you keeping a close eye on?
Definitely keeping a close eye on this. So I was I came into office last December, so right in the center of the winter storms. You know, I was able to visit a lot of the areas of my district, particularly around witnessing storm damage and working with the local offices of emergency services on repair and respite. Of our 13 counties, 11 of them were identified as areas by FEMA for natural disasters and funding. So for me, that was a wake-up call that we need to be ready coming into this next storm season to ensure that our infrastructure, our roads, our fire and police are fully equipped and resourced so that we can combat this next season. I want to shout out just the enormous partnership that we had with SoCal Edison in the southern part of our district at Inyo and Bishop. We had some communities that were snowed in for weeks at a time, and they helped with flying in resources, food, water, supplies to ensure that our constituents were safe. But what I really learned on these visits is that we don't have the equipment necessary to be able to move 30 feet of snow, that we've got more and more snow and mud avalanches that are closing our roads. And so we need to do a better job at the state to make sure that we're resourced for the eastern part of the state to make sure that people are safe, both in their homes and on the roads.
Yeah, your district and really the whole state of California got hit hard by the heavy snow and flooding as well. There was flooding in downtown Sonora, where we're sitting, big flooding over in Calaveras County. I believe you were there to witness some of that. You know, what's your thoughts just on the infrastructure, or how do we get the infrastructure kind of improved in this region of the state?
Yeah, well, this is going to take money. It's going to take a lot of resources to be able to rebuild some of the aging infrastructure that we have, as you know, BJ. But, you know, it's what adds to the charm of the eastern part of California. And we want to rebuild it thoughtfully so that it still protects our traditions and our values and ensures that people from all over California, the U.S. and the world that visit Gold Country have that experience of our 49er history. So I think one of the areas that I've been very proud of is working with the local fire district. They have been doing an incredible job partnering in the community and heading up our Office of Emergency Services with our sheriffs. And I'll tell you, every year our sheriffs come forward and lead the pack. And I just want to acknowledge all of our men and women of our badge community and their families for making sure that we stay safe and that we protect the lives of our Californians here in our district during these times.
As you mentioned, representing an area with 13 counties, do you feel you've been successful being able to juggle the different needs and the different interests and concerns of all those counties?
Yeah. What I've not been successful at is getting back on a snowboard after 20 years. That was quite the experience. So I learned that I'm not as young as I used to be. But, you know, for me, you know, being on the road, engaging with our community is something that comes naturally. I believe in being present and showing up. And, you know, I've gotten a lot of great feedback from our constituents. You know, we have 60 county supervisors that I work with regularly and connect with them. We represent 22 cities. That means 22 city councils. And so, yeah, it's a big job, but California is worth it to me. And I'm going to continue on this adventure, continue being the voice of the constituents here in California, and doing it with honor and pride.
You know, if local residents have a concern or something that they want to bring up to your office, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, so the best way is to visit our website. You can just Google or put into your browser Senator Alvarado Gill, and you'll be able to kind of come right in there. We have a fully staffed office Monday through Friday from 9 to 5, one in El Dorado Hills, another one in Modesto. And we also do regular office hours within the community. So watch your neighborhood. Watch groups, Facebook, Instagram pages. We also put out flyers to the local chambers and business community for mobile district office hours. Or give us a call if you'd like to host at your church or at one of your community centers. I would love to have our staff come out and host mobile office hours with you and the community.
You know, one topic we haven't gotten into is education. I know you have a background in education. Are there any bills or issues that you're watching on that issue?
Yeah, I'm watching quite a few. I think the main thing for me is honoring the local voice of electeds on our school boards. And I know that this has been somewhat controversial, but I'm a believer that our voters, our constituents, know what's best for them at the communities in which they live, work, and raise their families. And so for me, honoring those down ballot candidates, most often school board or local districts, we have to empower them and give them the agency to be able to lead. And that means not having a heavy hand at the state on legislation, but helping them to be successful at the local level and honoring their seats as elected officials.
Being a freshman lawmaker, was the experience what you expected?
Yes and no. I think, yes, I definitely feel that, you know, freshman tendency, first year of college or even high school sometimes where you're trying to fall in with the right group. But I feel like I'm a veteran now in self-awareness. And so for me, it's not about fitting in, but making the mold and bringing people along to kind of see through my lens, through the rural lens of what it takes to bring California back, put California back on track, and ensure that the rural community continues to have a voice.
You know, as we wrap up Motherload Views this weekend, appreciate having you on to get us up to speed on what's happening at the state capitol. Any kind of closing comments you'd like to make?
Well, I'd just like to say that for me, Veterans Day marks the beginning of the holiday season. So I look forward to engaging with folks, your listeners, around Veterans Day. I know that there's a lot of events all around Senate District 4. So me and my staff will be everywhere engaging with our constituents and our community. And I just, you know, I'd love to hear from your listeners, like what's important for them in this holiday season, because whether it's, you know, coming together with family to share a meal, celebrating with your church and putting things together, gifts and toys and food for the needy. Let me know what you're doing, because I'd love for me and my team to get involved this holiday season and, you know, invite us to be there with you.
Got about 30 seconds left. I'm going to put you on the spot. Were you surprised by the governor's pick of LaFonza Butler as the new U.S. Senator?
I was not surprised. I've met LaFonza Butler, and she's a fierce leader. She's definitely well-rounded. I think she will do a great job. But, you know, curious political motivation for this pick. We'll see. But I'd like to focus on the good in people. And so I'm going to be a believer that this pick is not about political muscle flexing, but a good choice for the people of California.
Well, Senator Alvarado Gill, we appreciate you coming in and being here in Tuolumne County today.
Great. Thank you so much, BJ.
Again, we've been hearing from District 4 California Senator Marie Alvarado Gill on this weekend's Motherlode Views. She's a Democrat. Her district covers the greater Motherlode region, including Tuolumne, Calaveras, and Amador counties, as well as stretching into parts of the Central Valley as well. And a programming note, next week on Motherlode Views, we're going to be joined in the studio by Dory Beat. She is the Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services Coordinator. A big topic that she's going to be talking about are some new sirens for emergencies in Tuolumne County that are going to to be going live soon. She'll explain where the sirens are located and why they were put in place and what you do if you hear those sirens. She's also going to be filling us in on some other topics, such as the recent cell phone outages and all the challenges that that created with law enforcement during extended periods, and some conversations going on behind the scenes in regards to trying to avoid those outages in the future. Again, that's next week on Motherload Views. If you missed this past weekend show or any other shows, you can find them archived on mymotherload.com in the media section. We'll see you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.